Wow, folks. It's the number one relief pitcher podcast on the internet. Staffcast again. I'm Richard Staff, as you, I guess, figured out at this point. But joining me today is our Mexican correspondent at the border, Mr. Tom Hackamer.
Hello. Honored, as always, to be here.
We love it. And we also have our West Coast correspondent, Trevor Hildenberger, on the scene.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be back. I think I've missed like two episodes in a row. I'm really happy to be back.
You weren't here last week, and there was a Hildy-sized void in all of our hearts.
Yeah, I listened to the Todd Frazier episode. It's really funny. I've never heard his voice before. So it was just like the most New Jersey guy I've ever heard. It was awesome.
He sounds like we hired a stereotype.
Folks, we wanted love the podcast, don't we?
I wish we had a chance to speak, because I remember facing him a couple times and I wanted to apologize, because he got traded to the Yankees in 2017, and his first at bat with the Yankees, I drilled him in the hand with like 94. And I think he like broke his hand and missed 2 months.
It's fine. He forgave Hack. Actually, he told Hack, you should have hit me when you had the chance. So
he said I could have. It would have been okay.
But we also have Sean here today. It's not usual Sean. It's a different Sean, but we love him all the same. It's Sean O'Connor. Hello.
Hey, so excited. I'm also from New Jersey. Like, I could, you guys could hit me with baseballs. I don't care. I'll just, like, you should have hit me harder or something. Oh,
oh man, Todd's back. Do you have turkey problems too?
What, turkey?
Folks, he doesn't know about the turkeys.
No, I didn't listen to Todd Frazier. I don't want to know anything about Todd Frazier. I like knowing a little, like almost nothing about Todd Frazier. Outside of he won the Little League World Series and that team beat my Little League All-Star team.
Really? You're the losing side of the Todd Frazier Little League World Series hero?
Like, they ran. I think they ran for the, like, yeah, we lost to them. We got mercy ruled by Casey Gaynor. Do you guys remember Casey Gaynor? I'm old as hell. Like, I think I'm older than Todd Frazier.
Sugar Gaynor?
No, Casey Gaynor. He was the star of the team. It wasn't the Todd father back then. It was Casey Gaynor, their pitcher. He like carried them.
Was this before or after Daniel Almonte?
This is before Danny Almonte. Although I do think I'm only like 5 years younger than him.
Okay. Whatever happened to Danny Almonte? Does anyone know?
Died of old age.
Yeah, they got to him.
No, I think he played in the minors. Like, he was like,
He did play in the minors. Yeah, I want to say he played for the Yankees. I don't know. Maybe I'm just pulling that out of my ass.
That sounds right.
He played for the Staten Island team.
That sounds right. Yeah. Oh yeah, the Staten Island. Yeah, that was the Yankees minor league, like New York Penn League team.
Yeah,
that's a good place for him.
Oh yeah, he was made for Staten Island.
There's nothing that Staten Island people love more than fraudulent documents.
Yeah.
He's made for Staten Island. Derogatory.
Yeah.
Derogatory.
Hey, you know, we're not too different, you and I. I got this bum knee. I can't work anymore. I can't type on the computer because, you know, I can't sit down. I can't believe you're a Todd Frazier victim.
I think he's had so many victims over the years. I also don't think we should say he has victims.
Yeah.
You're the second Sean that's a victim of Todd Frazier on this podcast alone.
Personally, like I was just a fat first baseman. He had nothing to do with me.
I mean, you could blame him if you want. He probably won't listen to this. If he does,
I'm over it. The athlete I have ill will towards is Noshawn Moreno, who called me the F word once while we were playing basketball when we were in high school.
How do you get on the bad side of every
I got a bone to pick.
I got a bone
with Noshawn Moreno.
Man, I was what so glad when he cried during the national anthem. That was like the best moment of my life.
Oh, was he the guy with all the tears that like poured out like a faucet?
Yeah, he was like pouring out. Yeah, he was the running back for the Denver Broncos.
I remember that.
Down south.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, yeah, he loved gay slurs more than anyone I've ever met.
That's why he was crying. He was thinking about how many of them he could say in this beautiful country of ours.
Yeah.
An icon. But that's it. That, I have more of a bone to pick with him. But no one knows who he is. I think he's also too old to be alive.
Yeah, I am hearing about him now for the first time.
It's fine. Listen, I think when we had Roth on, we talked about like Rich Aurelia for 5 minutes, so he's like 55, so anything below that is, I think it counts. It's fine.
I like that Rich Aurelia has been on several episodes of Guy's Grocery Games.
Wait, really?
Excuse me?
Jeff? Or
yeah.
Just a...
He's been, like, they've done like sports episodes, and Rich Aurelia has been on at least two of them.
I mean, it makes sense. Guy's from the Bay Area, so like...
Gary is a huge Giants fan. Like, you can see him, like, whenever, like, they would pair him up with an actual chef. And when Aurelia's team got eliminated, or won, I forget what happened. But, like, Guy Fieri, like, went over and was just like, you were a leader on the Giants, and you, like, super excited. It's super cool.
That is super cool. I met Guy Fieri once in New Orleans during NBA All-Star Weekend. We were filming something there, and then he was staying at the same hotel, and I literally my jaw fell to the ground, and I like started sweating, and I was like, I have to talk to Guy Fieri, because I was a little drunk, and I went up to him, and he was talking to five policemen, and he's like, can't do pictures right now, it's cop time.
He didn't say that.
I swear to God, and he could see that I was about to like cry, and the cop was like, take a picture with him, so he took a picture with me.
It's cop time.
It's cop time.
I'm glad that under every single person's skin there's just someone who really wants to talk to their favorite infielder from when they were 20.
I mean, what a dream. I would love to meet Royce Clayton and shake his hand.
Royce, I loved you playing Miguel Tejada in Moneyball.
Royce Clayton ruled. He signed a ball for me at Chase Stadium. I love him forever for it.
I think you should reach out to him and tell him, like, you have so many sports enemies. I think it's good to reach out to the one who isn't an enemy.
Yeah.
Everyone else treated you so badly, and Royce Clayton gave you that shot when no one else would.
Yeah, he did not call me a slur. I appreciate him for that.
Not to your face, at least.
I've only seen a few, like, celebrities, like TV and movie celebrities in person, and had the opportunity to talk to them, and I just have never pulled that trigger. I don't know how to start that conversation. I saw Simon Pegg in a elevator in Toronto. I think they were doing, like, Mission Impossible, like, press tour. And I was going to be like, no luck catching that swan yet. But I didn't do it yet.
I feel like you could go up to him. Just go up to him. Like,
we're like 2 feet away. Like, yeah, in the elevator, just me and him.
Yeah, or just say, like, hey, I'm a big fan. And people do it all the time.
I know. That's why I don't want to do it.
I know, it is humiliating. The only people I've ever got up to are Guy Fieri, Joel Embiid, and Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Those are all good. Yeah.
Insane blunt rotation.
Yeah. That felt like I could not pass that up.
Dream blunt rotation.
Yeah.
I think
I didn't watch anything with Steve Martin really until I was like 30, and then I watched Only Murders in the Building, and I watched on like a big Steve Martin kick and Martin Short kick, and I'm like, oh my god, these guys are insanely talented. Wow, where are these people of our generation, you know?
Yeah, we don't.
I just love that Steve Martin is also an exceptionally talented banjo player.
He's like insanely musically gifted.
I mean,
yeah, like I had no idea until like a few years ago.
He's literally like a top five banjo player in the world. And then like the documentary that just came out on Apple, which I recommend, it's amazing. As like, if you're a Steve Martin head, you'll love it. But he won't play banjo on camera because he's afraid that Bela Fleck will see it and call him up and tell him what he's doing wrong. And like that's how small the banjo world is.
In the rest of the world, like the top two, if he's the number three, 1 and 2 and 4 and 5 are all on their wooden porches watching on his CRT TV together.
But yeah, oh man, Steve Martin's the king. Like The Jerk is like one of my favorite movies. He's, if you haven't seen it, see it.
Roxanne.
Yeah. Great. LA Story, come on.
If there's one thing this podcast can teach you, just watch more Steve Martin.
Yeah, I
can't go wrong.
I just want to apologize for how old everything I'm saying is. I don't think I've talked about something that's happened after 1997.
Yeah, yeah. Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Munn.
I can't name another Gen Z like celebrity.
Were you doing Trump going like Olivia Munn?
Yeah.
They were so mean to John Mulaney.
They were so mean to Jenna Ortega. They said bye bye from Scream.
Me and my friends got really into doing Trump talking about Robert the Doll, that haunted doll.
He's no Annabelle.
Sorry, the what?
Robert the Doll. He's like a haunted sailor doll from the 1800s that's in like a haunted museum. But like,
I've never heard of that.
You gotta Google it. It's amazing. It looks so weird, but we thought it'd be very funny if Trump loves Robert the Doll and hates that everyone thinks he's like haunting you or something. I don't know. Just like the very unkind to Robert the Doll.
If he didn't get into politics, he really would love like 1800s maritime stories.
Yeah, I'm not friends with cool people.
Well, neither are we, and that's why we're all here together.
My long-running theory is that Donald Trump should have just been, like, a daytime talk show host. Like, just slap him in there on, like, The View.
Yes.
He's New York City's cattiest bitch, and that's all he wants to do.
Like, if you just let him host Fashion Police on E!, he would be the happiest person on Earth.
Get him and the menswear guy together.
Yeah, like the just let them watch the Met Gala and comment on it.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Just show him pictures of like women's necks, like Marsha Clark, and bad work done at the Emmys for People versus OJ. We don't like the neck. I'm glad I think this is record time for descent into just Trump remarking on current events voice. Which is either a good sign or an awful sign.
8 minutes in.
I want to talk about something actually baseball related because
this guy's about to wish death upon. Oh, it's not death upon Fisher.
No, it's not Oakland A's related or Sacramento A's. They can't even say Sacramento. It's not. It's just the A's. It's just just athletic. Be athletic. It's about our poor, beautiful pitchers going down with forearm strains and elbow injuries.
Have you considered it's their fault?
Forearm strains.
I've considered that it is their fault, and I have determined that it's not, and it's a systemic problem, and it's actually a societal problem.
Folks, we love victim blaming here.
Expand on that. Cook Major League Baseball right now, live on air.
What side? I don't know what to say. What side should I be on? Is like, who should I blame for it? Yeah, no, I'm always pro player, but like,
let's see.
Should I be saying we should? You guys should be throwing less or something? I don't know. Just give me a talking point.
My personal opinion is that everyone should choose one specific thing that you feel strongly about that is the cause of the injuries, and just say that's the only cause. Just be that guy.
Like
the only issue is that they lowered the mound.
The only issue is seed oils.
Yeah,
it's seed oils. It's grape seed oil.
Pick it up. Pick your option out of a hat. But that is that's your thing. You stick to it. That's the only problem. We fix this.
You know who's never had Tommy John? You know who's never had Tommy John?
Our Liver King.
The Liver King.
If people just ate raw meat all the time, then you would never have forearm strains.
Well, Listen, I Noah Syndergaard's on line one here. I think he's probably bitten into still beating hearts a couple of times, and I don't think it worked out.
Yeah, there was that off season where he was just eating raw liver. That was funny.
He came in, they're like, what'd you do this off season? He's like, I was in the woods and I ate 12 pounds of venison in one sitting. And they're like, all right.
Living in Hermosa Beach eating raw liver.
He was doing he was on one of those Jack Dorsey retreats where like he'd disappear for a week and it comes back. It's like, oh, Twitter Jack, where were you? It's like, I was having my balls hit with reeds by monks. Like, it's supposed to really stimulate my brain.
I do think that there's been more than one major leaguer who's gone to that like manliness camp, you know, when you pay like 12 grand to go to like military boot camp and everybody screams at you to like be a more masculine man. I bet there's terrible. More than one guy.
That's
absolutely
at least two. There's
probably one on each team that's done that.
100%. You got 165 minor leaguers, guaranteed one of them's gone.
Hell yeah. Do you think if everyone did that?
That's basically what the Pirates do to their minor leaguers.
Oh, yeah. Navy SEAL training on the beach, 6 a.m.
Yeah. They send them out into the woods.
They're, like, not allowed to walk on their, like, on their facility site. Like, they can't walk.
They have to run. Yeah.
They have to jog everywhere. Like, to the bathroom. Yeah. Back.
But, like, in instructs, apparently, they would send guys, like, they would put them out in the woods, like, on a camping trip, and be like, you have to stay out here for 24 hours. So, like, give them a tent, nothing else.
What?
I don't know about exactly, they just gave them a tent, but, like, they absolutely, like, put them out in the woods. That
like
is what I've been
Survivor?
Told by. Yeah, kind of.
Did they give them, like, a way to start a fire, or, like,
no.
I think they gave them, like, a flint. Like a fire spear.
Yeah. They made Paul Skeens get naked and sent him to the middle of the desert and said, find your way back by opening day or you're not on the roster.
That's why he's in AAA.
Do you think if you gave every pitcher, like, you know, maybe if Hack took one of these manly camps, Hildy, do you think his elbow might have held up a little longer?
I want to know, Hack, I want to know, how do we stop this moving forward? How do pitchers stay healthy longer?
Buddy, if I had that answer, I would not be playing baseball in Mexico. I'd be incredibly rich.
Let's brainstorm right now.
The only feasible answers are you expand the roster, you make a six-man rotation, you put a speed limit on pitches. That's not a real thing you can do. There's no way to disincentivize throwing hard, right?
Right.
What if I give you a stern talking to?
What if there were just like no more surgeries allowed? You got a surgery. If you blew out your elbow, that's it. Wrap it up. Go lay bricks or something.
Oh.
So everybody's throwing like 80% effort.
No more TJ.
Yeah, Rob Manfred.
Surgery,
puts, he puts Dr. Yeah. James Andrews and everyone else against the wall and says, no one's cutting into any of my players anymore. Figure it out.
I mean, that would be. I mean, no, it'd be the end of my career. So
I think that'd be the end of
a
lot of
people's I might be personally biased against that. That would be the end of 30% of the league's career.
Maybe they didn't want it
35%
enough.
35% last year.
Year,
2023, 35% of the pitchers who appeared in a major league game had Tommy John surgery in the past.
Have they considered not?
Is that high compared to other years?
It goes up every year, right? Because more pitchers are introduced, basically, and more guys have TJ. But it's gone up every one of the last like 5 or 6 years, I think, from what I had checked and what the. I forget the guy's actual name. He keeps a Google sheet of all of the Tommy John surgeries, major and minor league.
Ah, the Payton guy. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. It is not Chris O'Leary.
Now, and it's high. It's the highest. It's higher than any other profession, right?
In terms of having Tommy John, no one else has Tommy John.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's only affecting pitchers.
Just lawyers have a higher rate.
And players, yeah.
Yeah.
Late night TV writers have a really high UCL tearing rate. That's why we invited Sean here.
Yeah. Humiliating. I think the key, Nolan Ryan never had Tommy John surgery, and his secret was he married a girl he met when he was 8 years old. So maybe that's the key.
I think eventually we're going to get down to, like, we're just going to have Blade Runners for, like, people with Tommy John. Like, do you have a real UCL or do you have a synthetic UCL?
Turn this doorknob for me. No, 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 no.
Put two fingers behind your head and press into the back of your skull.
Oh, yeah. Also, Nolan Ryan threw for 7 years with no UCL. Yeah, at least he had a very significant tear.
Oh, I mean, listen, the guy was a psycho. Like,
yeah. He was just like, oh, it's just going to hurt? Whatever.
You know, life hurts. I'm just going to go.
Turn your volume down because of where you are, but he has Texas brain. The guy is not right.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm currently living in Texas.
Seven people with 10-gallon hats are enclosing Hack in a circle, and they're going to beat him to death because of what you said.
No, they're going to do that anyway.
Beat me with hammers.
Bunch of JBLs circa 2004 are on their way to his location.
But yeah, it's sad that you guys keep getting hurt. I'll start a petition or something.
Thanks. Yeah, could you get like Jennifer Jason Leigh and Michael Rappaport to sign a petition saying like
I'll get everybody to sign that Israel letter.
bring the UCLs home.
Yeah, let's align all pitchers with the idea of...
with actors and disruptors.
Can we get Jerry Seinfeld involved somehow?
Getting Jerry Seinfeld involved when he hears your UCL was only 18 years old before it gave up.
He'd be out.
It's too old.
Just made it to 18. It's too old for me.
Oh, I love saying libelous things.
Listen, I don't think he could sue you for it. He literally dated a 17-year-old. It was on the cover of all these papers.
Yeah, when I was driving from New York down here to Laredo, I called Rich when I got stuck in traffic at like hour 28 of this drive, and I was completely like losing my mind, and we just got into doing Jerry Seinfeld bits about how he. Like, we would rewrite Seinfeld, but where every time Jerry Seinfeld spoke, he had to say that he was dating a teenager. It had to be included in his dialogue.
Yeah.
I think it would have added layers to the show. George was in the pool. My girlfriend's 17.
It is very funny to me, like, which I feel like this is like the guiltiest brain thing he's ever done. The one time one of the cast members dated someone super young, it was George. Like, he purposely went away from it to be like, hey, it's not me. I like women.
Everyone does.
It's me, morally correct Jerry Seinfeld.
He's the problem. George is over here.
Don't laugh. shout out Mets fan Jerry Seinfeld, actually. Only the best are Mets fans.
I mean, you got Seinfeld, Delmar, Kevin James.
You got me.
Nathan Fielder. Is that real? Or was he just at a Mets game that one time?
I think he was just at a Mets game with Emma Stone that one time.
Yeah, they were playing just the Padres.
Just looking like the most miserable person ever. But it was on the Mets, like, jumbo, like, billboard, big screen.
Context clues tell me that means he's a Mets fan.
It's just, like, a beautiful image that encapsulates what being a Mets fan is.
Yeah, I feel like even if you aren't a Mets fan, if you're at a Met game, you're making that face the entire time.
What are they doing? Part of the environment. What's happening?
Nathan Fielder walking into the clubhouse like, whoa. Shitty infielder city over here.
I spend way too much time thinking about how I would handle if Nathan Fielder tried to be like, you know, do his bit of being extremely awkward in my life. I think
Do you
about
think
it all
you'd defeat
time.
Him?
I mean, obviously I know who he is, so I'd be onto it, but I'm thinking if like just some guy was like awkward to me, how I would handle it, you know? Would I just like be nice and empathetic, or I'd just be like, get the fuck away from me, loser. I don't
You see, my usual strategy is when people are being really awkward is unconsciously my reaction is to just be also really awkward. And then everyone's uncomfortable.
I'm
then
an
you took the bait.
Matcher. That's what I do. And
yeah,
also
it's
very fun. I did stand up with Nathan like a long, long time ago. And yeah, like you just kind of match his energy. There's no other way around it unless you are like confident, which I am not.
Unless you're, you know, confident.
Yeah,
I don't think we mentioned we are graced with the presence today of the future of comedy, which many have said.
Like one person said it and then he died, so no one else should say it.
Well, that actually reminds me. I had one singular question to ask you, Sean. I come up with one question for everybody, basically, because that's about as much thought as I put into this podcast. You have said notably that on your like second or third day working for Norm, that he just said, "Hey, look at this video," and it was the R. Bud Dwyer video.
Yeah,
you want to see something funny? What? Check this out.
Want to see something funny? So up until that point, like, he took all the writers out to dinner the first night, and that was like the first time he ever talked to us, and we were like all nervous. Everyone was like so afraid, and then day two, he didn't talk to any of us. And then I was in the bathroom with him and he's like, "You gonna wash your hands?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And then he went back to his office. And then the third day I hear him laughing and he goes, "You want to see something funny?" And I'm like, "Yeah." So I go in, he has like a big monitor and he like pulls up the Bud Dwyer thing, which I had never seen before in my entire life. And he just played it and he just laughed.
He was right to do it.
That's incredible.
He was right.
He was just preparing you for Mets Jet.
Yeah, I don't know if that was my question. Like, what was it like? Like, if you can describe working for Norm Macdonald, like that.
Oh man,
it sounds like an indescribable experience. But I'd like you to try if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first time I worked with him was on Sports Show and Norm Macdonald, and that was my first job. And it was really fun because he's my hero. But then, like, what was actually cool about it, but then it became not cool as the show progressed, is he would keep us there till like 11:30 because he didn't want to go home. So, like, we would be done at work by like 7:30. So then he would just tell us stories for 4 hours. So we heard like every story he had to tell over the course of 4 months. And it was great. And some of those stories, you know, are the most insane stories you've ever heard. And then some of those stories, you're like, you shouldn't tell this story. This is really bad. But, like, but it was fun to have like just like unfiltered Norm. And then right after that job ended, he asked me if I wanted to like open on the road for him. So I would just like, you know, go from city to city or casino to casino with him. And it was just great because he just like kind of taught me how to do comedy in his way. And I was like, oh, that's the way I always wanted to do it. And then he also has a credit, a debit card that can only take out $100.
Smart.
Because his business manager put a lock on it. So inevitably, every weekend, I would have to empty my bank account out so he could gamble.
Hell yeah, brother. 99% of compulsive comedian gamblers stop before they hit the jackpot.
So it's great. I love Norm. He was the best. And he dated Elle McPherson, which is insane.
This is true.
I didn't know that. You are telling me now for the first time.
I think I could tell the story because it could have been made up. This is the other thing. Like, I still don't know if Norm's actually dead. I remember my boss called me up like the day after Norm died. He was like, do we actually believe he's dead? Because, like, we all know he's the biggest liar in the world. Like,
this is a long con. That's why I'm not showing my face. He's actually in the room with me.
Be humiliated. But yeah, no, he told me once that when he was dating Elle McPherson, they went to the U.S. Open, and Bill Clinton came up to them, and then he whispered it in Norm's ear, looks like we're like, but it wasn't Eskimo Brothers, because that wasn't what they said then, but it was like, basically implying that he had sex with his girlfriend. And that's why Norm went extra hard on Bill Clinton on Weekend Update, because he was so mad at him.
That's incredible. What do you do? What's
buy
your
that?
Move?
That's a true story.
That he says it's, he said it was a true story, but
listen,
you know,
there are two people who could deny it. One of them may or may not be dead, and the other one is on like 50 different drugs at Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah,
you know. What's your move if 42nd president of the United States comes up to you when you're with your significant other? It's just like, hey, buddy, I've been there too.
Hey, Norm, yeah, how's it going? We had sex. I'll see you later.
I mean, I guess that's why, like, I think Bill Clinton is famously super charismatic, and he just does stuff like that, right?
Who's going to say no to Bill Clinton?
You can't fight him. He's the president. They don't let that happen.
He has Secret Service
can't
there.
It's
either that
can't
or
touch him.
Everyone he goes up to, like, if he's at the correspondence dinner or the Emmys, he just walks up to everyone like, hey, Brad Pitt, I fucked Angelina. All right, I'll see you later.
How many presidents you got in your bag, bro? That's a good impression.
I got like two. And you've heard both of them.
I bet you could do a Nixon.
Can you do W?
I'm living Nixon, all right? I don't want to have to sound like him, too.
Can you do W?
I don't think I can. Which is a shame. I don't have that Texas in me.
Can you do Obama? Can you do Obama?
Obama's easy because he just sort of go.
Is that allowed?
Michelle.
Allowed.
we have come to an incredible crossroads. Michelle. Wow. Everything he says has to end with Michelle.
Clear.
Yeah, I just stick to Bill Clinton.
Pro Obama podcast.
We call him Barry here. We're on first name basis with him.
He's cool. I mean, like, that dude was so cool.
He's our next guest.
He smoked a cigarette.
He's our next guest.
That's a good get.
Yeah. He's going to tell us about the time he also told Norm he had sex with his girlfriend.
I was thinking, though, Rich, that would be a very funny move for someone to do. Exactly what you were saying with, like, Brad Pitt. As if Bill Clinton did that to everyone, no matter who they were.
Yeah.
Just saying that I had sex with your girlfriend. You kind of believe it, because why would he ever do that?
He has no reason to lie about it. So, like, are you just not going to believe the president?
Bill Clinton, troll of the generation.
Not just any president, but, like, the sex president?
Well, that's Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Kennedy had like woodwork over his bed that said Pound Town.
John F. Kennedy going around to like Spencer Tracy and being like, I also had sex with your wife.
Yeah.
I like that you went straight to the clone high JFK.
Listen, what else are you going to do?
Nothing bad ever happens to the Kennedys. Did anyone watch the Clone High revival? Was that any good?
I didn't watch it. I feel like I shouldn't
either.
Say that.
Actually, there is something that I think when I started this podcast and I told Sean he'd be on it one day, he said he would reveal this to the world as an exclusive. We almost had a new Gumby.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I was writing the Gumby movie. That didn't work out.
What?
I forget if this became if this was just the joke or if it was real. Was Gumby gonna fuck in this movie?
Gumby wasn't gonna fuck. There was a joke that made it through two drafts of the outline until they made me pull it out. Where the whole plot of it was that Gumby disappeared in 1995, and that's why the world has been bad. And so, like, it would open up with him getting kidnapped and sent into space. And then after that, it's like 9/11 and like, you know,
the war Trump, on terror,
and then the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series and stuff like that. And then when he's back, like, the whole world sucks now and it's so bad. And like, all of his friends have had to do like unspeakable things to get by. And I had this one thing where Pokey had an OnlyFans where he shows hole. So every time he turned around, it would be blurred. That made it really far. That was like months where they were like, we could do this.
That's impressive. We can make this work. That was very obviously never getting through.
Yeah. They were humoring me. They were...
Like, listen, we can't tell him we can't do everything he said. Like, I don't know, let the hole slide.
I love that premise, though, that like Gumby disappears and like Gitmo opens, and like, yeah, like everything just goes to shit.
It's all because Gumby's gone.
Yeah, Gumby's gone because him and Pokey's friendship united the world. Not to mention that when Gumby was around, there was, you know, the Korean War, Vietnam, and all that stuff.
No, everything was fine until 95. It's only recently gotten bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second he went away, all of a sudden OJ's acquitted, and everything got worse from there.
It's so humiliating, Gumby. But yeah, it fell apart, it disappeared. But maybe one day there will be a new Gumby.
Just not with you writing holes into it.
Yes. Who knows?
It's good because it frees you up to help me and Rich with our project, which is Tim Robinson as Popeye, King of the Juice.
King of the what?
The Juice.
The Juice. Okay.
Yeah, Popeye is Jesus. He's being crucified.
Yeah.
It's going to be basically Passion of the Christ, but with Popeye.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, boy, does he have an out of that situation.
Look, Popeye's public domain. This is a great idea.
It is a great idea. Listen, I love Popeye. I think the kids today would love Popeye. I mean, they see sailors mostly every day of their lives.
It was a great scene where he turned the saltine crackers into spinach. Warner Brothers executives they're not allowed to listen to this part.
Yeah, please don't steal our idea.
No, guys, let's get this going. We could do Popeye for the new generation.
I have one last Gumby
more olive oil bits.
Were all of the disasters in the Gumby movie, were they also going to be claymation?
Yeah, everything was. Well, no, we were going to do. He was watching a TV, and we were watching actual footage of it. Yeah,
I would have loved claymation Saddam statue coming down.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's good.
The claymation second plane.
let's talk about this Popeye thing, because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it right away. Because immediately, like, you can have some fun with it. These are characters out of time. Olive oil is not really like today's women. Like, so is she gonna get a BBL?
Oh, no.
No, all of the Roman statue AVI people are going to be like, what happened to women? And it's like Popeye yelling and hitting a broom on the ground.
Yeah. They've ruined olive oil. She's supposed to be Shelley Duvall.
Olive oil's been ruined because of
she does look like Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, half of Hack's time in Mexico.
I don't even know other characters in that show. Who's he fight?
Bluto.
Bluto.
Yeah.
And Wimpy's there, and
yeah, Wimpy is like so not important to the plot at all. He just
but he will be. He just wants a hamburger and he does not have any money.
He doesn't have any. It's because they raised the minimum wage at In-N-Out and it went up 5 cents, and he's like, ooh, I can't afford this.
Yeah. He's an original conservative blogger.
I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a double-double animal style today.
And wimpiness, please. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a blue check mark today.
It's an imperfect con, what Wimpy's doing, I feel.
Nobody wants to work anymore, so, you know, good on him for making something worthwhile.
I mean, it was the 1920s. That was so fun. Why would you want to work during the 1920s? Anything was possible. There was flappers everywhere.
True, jazz music.
Vaudeville.
Yeah, Vaudeville. I just bought... Vaudeville, Prohibition. Yeah. You could see the Marx Brothers, the way they were intended to be seen.
Three Stooges were there before Curly Joe showed up. He still had a good 20 years.
Oh my God, so many gags, so many bits.
Actually, one thing that I've poisoned Hack's mind with is one of the public domain Three Stooges shorts is Disorder in the Court. And at one point, they're running around the courtroom trying to hit a parrot with a giant hammer. And it was after...
in a court case.
Yeah, they were playing their fun little songs ahead of time, and Larry had a violin he was playing. And the bird lands like 2 feet to the side of it, and he takes his big hammer and he drives it through the violin. And Larry goes, "Oh, my Stradivarius, my beautiful Stradivarius." And I've been planted it in the back of Hack's head for about a month.
Oh, yeah. It's been so much longer than that. It's a tremendous, like, weird little joke. It's just like, oh, right, this idiot's playing a $4 million violin and he just destroyed it.
And then again, with Rich, your expert voice work, you got to start using that thing.
Listen, what if there's no one that's going to call up and be like, hey, could you do like 7 out of 10 voices for me? It's like, yeah, I'll be right there. Don't worry.
Buddy, that's all Howard Stern is.
Yeah.
Born too late to be an FM radio shock jock.
Yeah.
Born right on time to host a podcast with three relief pitchers. I do have a question here. Our favorite Hildy here is a movie buff. He's our resident movie guy. Mm. And Sean is our resident. He represents the funny in this equation. So I'm going to ask Hildy, and I guess a Hack too. I don't know. I guess he counts. What is your favorite funny movie? And Sean will decide whether it's a valid response or not.
Ooh.
Wow, this is...
Shit.
Okay, I am going to say that recently on a bus ride, I just watched Dr. Strangelove for the first time. And, like, God, that's incredible. I don't know how I went this long without having seen it. Knowing damn well, like, the two big lines in the movie, obviously, that I've known since I've known the movie existed. Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room. And Mein Führer, I can walk. Both incredible that I've known those lines for 10 years without seeing the movie. They're still hysterical in context. So I want to say that's like a front runner, but my all-time favorite comedy is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay, all right. Listen, I'm taking it in. I'm considering, but I need to hear the other side.
The the movies that I laugh at aren't comedies. The movies I laugh the hardest at are like the shittiest fucking movies you've ever seen. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen Battleship with Rihanna, and like, there's a scene in that where this guy busts through a doorway and just screams at the top of his lungs, "The Navy is online!" And then some guy screams back, "Why?" And he just goes, "I don't know why!" And then runs out of the room. And I laughed for, me and my buddy tell that joke to each other back and forth for years. We just said that. Like, "I don't know why!" And then runs out of the room. I think shitty movies are funnier than any comedy. I used to really like, I don't know, when I was younger and more immature, I really liked like Wedding Crashers. I thought that was funny. I thought that was like peak comedy, but I was an idiot. You know, I was like 16 and watched TBS.
I mean, you guys have all named movies that I've laughed at before. I have to give it up for Dr. Strangelove and Monty Python. I just have to give it.
Yeah, Dr. Strangelove is unreal.
But I also love shitty movies. Like, one of my favorite movies ever is The Happening by M. Night Shyamalan, where there's just a scene at the beginning where Mark Wahlberg is a biology teacher, and the bell rings, and then the class is leaving. He goes, "Hey, class." And they all turn back like he's going to say something. He's like, "Never mind." I'm like, why did you leave that in?
Why did you write that on?
That's, Hildy, this is for you specifically. You know who did that to me for 5 years? Andrew Vasquez. He would just go, he would just go, hey, never mind.
never mind.
Just like throughout the day, like in the bullpen, like I lived with him one spring training. He would call guys in the off season and do it to them.
Oh, bro, what's that movie with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe? And they're like,
"Oh, Nice Guys."
The Nice Guys.
I watched that recently, and I was pretty stoned, but I laughed pretty hard at that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies of like this past 20 years. I think it's so good.
Yeah. Like last 10 years, comedy. Like, yeah, dude, deserves a sequel.
I've heard really good things.
Oh, you'd love it.
Get peer pressured into it.
I've been on so many bus trips where like I can't really do anything other than like maybe read or watch movies or play Balatro. So I've been watching a bunch of like I've been collecting movies to watch. Nice Guys will make the list. I've been trying to do my Hildy impression film school dive. I just watched two Kurosawa movies.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I watched Throne of Blood and Seven Samurai.
Hell yeah.
Seven Samurai, yeah.
Yeah, I love High and Low, and if you've never seen Akira, that movie is kind of funny, but then also the saddest movie ever made. Like, it's so good.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Like, you will laugh. But yeah, I was actually talking about this today with my friend. Have you guys ever seen Barry Lyndon?
No, that's another one.
I've seen the TikTok. I have to see the movie.
It's one of the funniest movies ever made, and Colin Crawford today pointed out that the duel scene is basically a film, like it's exactly a Mr. Show sketch. And upon rewatching it this morning, I was like, he's 100% right. It is the funniest movie ever made. It's great.
Sometimes I think about it. Maybe we had everything figured out in 1977.
No, Kubrick had it figured out.
Yeah,
Kubrick did Dr. Strangelove and Barry Lyndon. Like, Kubrick could do whatever the fuck he wanted.
He was operating on like another level. I mean, like 2001, like it makes sense why that's like one of the most important movies ever made, because it had to fry brains in 1969. That's so
cook people. Crazy.
Yeah, like.
And then like Full Metal Jacket. I don't know if you've ever seen The Killing, which was like one of his early movies.
Oh, I love The Killing.
It's great.
I'm a Kubrick head, I guess.
How do you feel about Eyes Wide Shut?
I like Eyes Wide Shut. I like AI too. I like everything.
Yeah.
This is a positivity podcast.
I used to really like Clockwork Orange, like above his other work. But now my favorite Kubrick is The Shining.
Shining's great. I feel like
I like how much Stephen King hates The Shining.
Yeah.
That's why it's elevated it. Yes. That's why it's elevated.
It's so funny for someone to take your book and just make it really good.
And like, being like, this sucks.
Fuck. God damn it.
Richard Steph, what's your favorite comedy? You didn't say yours.
I'm just very boring. I don't know. I could probably watch Happy Gilmore like 50 times or Austin
Happy
Powers.
Gilmore is really good. Like,
yeah.
I've said it before. My favorite scene in any comedy movie is in Billy Madison, where about, I don't know, 65 minutes into the 80-minute runtime, it's just Norm by the pool and he's like, "Where's Billy?" And like, he's at school. He's like, "Oh, yeah." The scene ends. Nothing leads into it. Nothing comes after it. It's just 30 seconds of him like being like, oh, yeah, the movie's happening.
No, I mean, if I had to pick a favorite comedy, Billy Madison's probably going to be up there. It's either that or like The Jerk or Step Brothers. Those are the big three for me.
We're back in Steve Step Martin Brothers chat.
Is incredible.
Wait, which one?
I said Step Brothers.
It's so great. It's
right, especially effectively. A lot of it was just like, hey, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, like, here's a premise. Like, here's some loose ideas of scenes. Like, you guys are really funny. Just go do that.
Yeah. And let's not look into the fact that all three movies are about men who are stuck in adolescence refusing to grow up.
It surely like, means nothing.
Go into the therapy behind that.
It's fine. Big man in silly situation. Nothing more.
Yes.
That's what comedy is.
You mean Arrested Development?
Yeah, Arrested Development.
I think Hack and Hildy are very specially skilled to answer this. What's like the average ball player movie? Like if you're, let's say, on a trip, it's going to be 3.5 hours
Fast
wherever you're going.
Fast and Furious.
Really?
It's the average baseball player.
Or just rocking like 8 brain cell, show me Dwayne Johnson breaking a cast.
Yeah, one of the funniest things I've ever heard said in a derogatory manner that the person it was said to did not pick up on was, I bet you've seen every Fast and Furious movie.
Hell yeah, man.
One of the best insults I've ever heard. Delivered by San Francisco Giants great Alex Dickerson.
I have a question. This is something that I think I've asked a few people before who have played baseball past, you know, being children, like you guys are good guys who play baseball. What do you guys think of the movie Everybody Wants Some?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, interesting. Because my
friend, I heard it's funny.
I really liked it. I really loved it. But then my friend Allison is engaged to Ty Kelly, and he was like, I do not like that movie. And I was like, why? He's like, it's too real. And then I was like, oh, man, I have to ask everyone this now.
Which I'll add it to the list. But give me a brief synopsis.
All in one day at the University of Texas, and it's baseball house. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone was talking about this. We were talking about baseball movies in the outfield during BP, and that came up. I had never seen it. I still haven't. I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah.
I get it confused with the one where Owen Wilson is a pitcher for the Washington Nationals.
What movie is that?
Because I don't know. It's just another baseball movie that I haven't seen.
What?
I think you're making this up for attention.
That exists.
I'm sorry, but the best baseball movie of all time is wherever Brendan Fraser throws a perfect game on 81 pitches.
Oh, The Scout.
The Scout.
Yeah.
With Albert Brooks.
I've never seen The Scout.
And Brendan fucking Fraser.
Perfect game, 81 pitches.
Oh, wait.
And also hits a grand slam.
27 strikeouts, 81 pitches, perfect game. And the announcer says that everyone was expecting. The perfect game on 27 strikeouts that everyone was expecting is the funniest line ever written.
Yeah, man, just strike everyone out. Come on.
Yes, pitching shit's easy.
And he's like dropped off on the stadium, like on the roof.
Yeah, I know of that movie. I've never seen it.
You have blown my mind about this Owen Wilson movie. Because not only is he playing a pitcher for the Washington Nationals, it's written and directed by James L. Brooks. This is it's a movie called How Do You Know? And the cast is Reese Witherspoon, Owen Wilson, Paul Rudd, and Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
We love movies. We love movies.
It's like Love Triangle, Owen Wilson, Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd. Right?
Yeah, this is incredible. Yeah.
Did Bob Iger bury this? Who buried this?
You know?
Ted Lerner.
It was Columbia Pictures. It was Sony who buried this. It did not do well at the box office. But I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem like it didn't seem like a good movie. I was doing a deep dive into baseball movies because I was making a YouTube video about the best and worst pitching motions. And I
Ben
came
McBride
across
number
that
one for worst.
It's not a movie. I didn't do Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
It's
so bad.
The best. I think I gave. I think I gave best to Bull Durham.
For Nuke LaRouche?
Yeah, it was not bad. And worst is Tony Danza and Angels in the Outfield.
He was dying.
He's dying.
The first scene he appears in that movie, he's smoking a cigarette, sitting in the hot tub up to his shoulders. It's unbelievable.
There's some poor kid in Laredo, Texas, who's like looking at your dugout and just sees an angel following you around. They're like, Hack doesn't have much time left.
God, I hope so. But I came across How Do You Know? And I was just like, okay, baseball's a side plot in this movie. I'm sure Owen Wilson can't throw a baseball. I'm not watching this for the purposes of doing this for this movie.
You should have.
Kevin Costner and For the Love of the Game?
Yes, Costner was one of the other good ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think
Has
you
Kurt
could
Russell
be like
ever
a
thrown a pitch? Because he played minor league ball in a movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's a Portland Maverick.
Have you ever considered
Costner
being like
also,
a movie
Costner
consultant?
Was also good as a hitter in Bull Durham.
Yeah. I mean, Costner rules. Like, the baseball Costner is great.
Well, he's been in like three baseball movies.
Three
movies where baseball is a plot point.
Yeah, three baseball movies and one baseball player's wife.
Yes.
Hell yeah,
bro.
Ooh. Listen, we don't know if it's real or not.
I love how the reaction to that was like, he goes down trying to beat up Kevin Costner, and like the Orioles are like, shut the lights off now. Like, well, all right.
Shut the fucking lights off.
Get and everyone's just off. Like, yeah, all right. Have you ever considered being a movie baseball consultant where you just show up and you, I don't know, you tell whatever actor it is, you're like, John Boyega, that's not how you throw a pitch.
I would love that.
Yeah, God, I wish.
You could probably do it.
I would kill that job.
Probably
I'm gonna. I'm just going to start tweeting at Trevor May every day, like, hey, man, if you ever make that baseball movie and you need a guy who throws weird, like, can I be that guy?
Reach out to Royce Clayton and find out who his agent is. And maybe
that was my former manager, Chad Kruder.
Oh, yeah. Well, he also choked out a guy
Chad
once.
Yes, but Chad was part of the. He cornered me one day and told me the story. I think I just asked him about being in Moneyball, but he told me the whole thing that they like had him on as a consultant. Then they had him play the pitching coach, and then like in the process of consulting, he was just like, you know, they had like, okay, we need all these guys out here to be, you know, Miguel Tejada, and he was like, okay, well, these guys can't be Miguel Tejada because these guys are all white. Right, like they can't play Miguel Tejada.
It could be post-transition Sammy Sosa.
Right, he was like going through it. He was just like, I had to like tell him like this guy, you know, he had this build. Like we can't use these extras. Like this guy can't play him.
Chris Pratt cannot be Jermaine Dye.
Yeah, right. But I assume that was how Royce Clayton ended up in that situation. I assume there's some connection.
I think it's so doable to be a pitching consultant for, like, you just need them to make another baseball movie. I think you could do this.
Right. I need sports movies to be made again.
Yeah.
I would very gladly be just, like, a terrible extra, like, what's the guy in Little Big League who's, like, he's got the pump-up gloves and he, like, he's the only one that solves the riddle or like does the math problem.
The only person like, remembering on that team was Kevin Elster.
I don't remember any of them at all, but like one of those guys where I'm like an incredibly minor extra character.
Yeah.
Like I'm so ready for that. I can't do any acting past the very basics of being a baseball player, something that I do every single day. But if you need me to do that, I'm so ready.
Yeah, I think like Listen, let's make this happen.
You should follow the career path of
tax the new Gumby, and Gumby strikes out.
I have an only mildly stolen idea for a baseball movie that I will probably write badly at some point.
Oh yeah. Also about Popeye getting crucified.
that's the B plot.
Yeah.
So this is I can say this confidently because neither of these guys will ever listen to this. This is Merge Two Ideas from John Curtis and Trevor May. And
wow.
So John Curtis wanted to write a musical, which more power to you, about a minor leaguer going through like a late season career in AAA, where at the end of it, he gets called into the manager's office and you don't know if he is being released or if he is being called up, and that's where it ends. And it's, you know, very, there's like, that's not much of a plot. That's just what he told me one day when we were rehabbing. And Trevor May's, I think what I have heard, what I've been told about his general movie script that he wrote at some point is it is a guy's path through the minor leagues to where he makes the majors, but in the process has alienated virtually everyone he knows, like all of his family, like important relationships, friends, significant others. And at the end, he gets the call. He gets called up to the majors and realizes he has nobody to, like, call to tell.
Yeah.
I think that you just take, you chop off the ending of Trevor May's idea and you stitch in John Curtis's idea of he gets called up and it, or he gets called into the AAA manager's office and that's where the movie is.
Yeah.
So you don't know if it'll work.
But you don't never know if he, like, reaches his goal or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Now you got an indie drama on your hands with that. With Trevor
May. Oh, yeah. No, it's not a comedy.
It's like kind it's of feels comedy. Like, yeah, it's on a Christian network.
The player is also played by Adam Sandler. Is Howard Ratner.
It's like on Pure Flix. It's just like he alienated his family and they weren't there.
In the sequel, right, his first game in the majors.
The manager is played by Tim Robinson.
Yeah, he looks up into the stands and it's empty and a little tear drops down his face.
It's like, seriously, like your family, even if they fucking hate your guys, are gonna show up to that first one.
Right.
Tickets are free, baby.
Unless it's in Sacramento, then they're like, you know what? We'll catch you on the road.
Excuse me. Don't talk like this about the most up close and personal experience you could have in Major League
the
Baseball.
City, I have no problem with Sacramento, the city, and if they get an expansion team, more power to them. I'm just saying. If you're grinding out in the PCL for 3 years and you get called up and it's not Chicago, New York, LA, it's like back to Sutter Health Ballpark, that's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah, you played there, didn't you? With the Giants,
that was
right?
That was Hildy's home.
Yeah.
A couple years.
Can it sustain a major league crowd and major league players and major league everything?
No, not the way it is now. I really hope that they make the playoffs and it has to host a playoff game.
are they,
right, and they only have a year. They only have a year to do those renovations. They have to do them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So get them up to like the quality that they have to be a major league stadium, right? Like Buffalo, the Toronto Blue Jays AAA, when they played there during COVID to simplify travel, they had to upgrade the stadium significantly to make it like up to the union standards for what a major league ballpark is.
Yeah, they have to put freaking oat latte machines in.
So that probably started by the day they announced it. Like,
all right, I'm getting kicked out.
Uh-oh.
Security guards kicking me out of my parking garage.
This is what happens when you try to record a podcast in gruesome Gavin Newsom's California.
I'm sorry. First one, last one here, first one to leave.
Can't pod anymore because
farewell to our beautiful Hildy.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you, listeners. I will see you guys soon.
Hildy will return. I think my favorite running bit in the podcast is there's always some really weird reason why Hildy has to leave, like, just before the end.
Yeah, my personal favorite was my kids are locked in the car.
Yeah.
My wife can't get it open.
He's like, I just got a text. My kids are in the car at Old Navy.
What if he just has a super chaotic life and you guys just don't know it? Like,
maybe he does, man. Like, I don't know what Hildy does.
I think it adds a really great aspect to the podcast. Like, honestly, if he wasn't doing it, like, I'd say, please do it. It's a lot of fun. We're like,
it's a really good bit.
I'm getting kicked out by the parking lot security.
Again, my favorite part was in the episode where Hildy had to go get his kids out of a locked car. That was my first episode on the podcast, and for some other unrelated reason, I ended up being the only person. Like, Rich had to leave for some reason also, and it was just me and Bailey.
Yeah, I was gone for like 2 minutes. I had to do something, yeah. So it was just you guys.
Oh wait,
just like I am.
Sorry.
I was like, I'm a guest host. Why am I the only person here?
Nobody wants to work anymore.
I feel like you're permanent now.
Oh, he is. No, I put him in the description.
Yeah, you're
like, Rich is.
You're king shit, man. You're
after being banned from the show for the first 6 episodes or so, I am now an official alternate co-host.
Yeah, it's true. Every week we just have a whole bullpen. We're not going to stop until we build one.
Yeah. Well, it's just Rich making the calls from the dugout. It's just like, oh, we need the 2 righties today.
Yeah.
And Italian Dave edits this?
Yeah, Italian Dave edits this.
Wow.
He is not paid for his work.
No, we don't pay him.
If I know one thing that's getting edited out.
I think the last time we said this, he just put a bleep over 10 seconds of the podcast.
He just censored it like we were just swearing like sailors. Just swearing like Popeye.
We were having our Kramer moment. And he, it's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. No. Isn't this a beautiful place? I love this podcast that simultaneously seems to be well put together and then also falls apart.
Does this seem to be well put together? At what point does it seem like we have anything going on?
Have you seen our art?
That's the only good thing. Notch. Abigail's so good at doing the art.
I hate the fact we can only pick one. Like, she sends 4, and I'm like, we're not going to be able to pick one.
All of the Toddcast ones were so good.
This is great. Like, I think this is a winning podcast. And I've been on podcasts before, and I had more fun here than most other podcasts.
That's a glowing review.
I mean,
that's
truly
high praise.
No, you guys are very easy to talk to, and I also like that there is no format. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, right. It's good.
It's tough when I describe it to people. It's like, hey, man, I gotta go co-host my friend's podcast, and they're like, oh, what's it about? It's just like kind of nothing. They're like, one of my good friends is just like, oh, it's just a bunch of dudes with microphones just bullshitting. Like, we need more of those podcasts. You're so right.
Like, listen, man, all right? These are major leaguers dudes, all right?
Yeah.
These aren't regular dudes.
It's less fun if we just, like, grabbed, like, no offense to our editor, Italian Dave, but if we just grabbed Italian Dave and we're just like, hey, man, come on and just, you know, shoot the shit. It's less interesting than being like, oh yeah, we got Todd Frazier. You know, Rich got to tell him about Ben Verlander saying that Babe Ruth burned his wife to death.
Yeah. I got to confront Todd Frazier about retweeting my post comparing getting traded back to the Mets to Joe Pesci getting his brains blown out in Goodfellas.
By the way, I just want to say, this is so close to Howard Stern, Rich. Like, you've talked about a guy named Medallion Dave 5 times.
We also have we also have Hank the angry Mexican relief pitcher. We're rounding out the crew.
Excuse me, it's just my life now.
Listen, maybe Howard Stern is our future, except it's like baseball.
I mean, come on, it's you take away like all of the bad stuff about Howard Stern, which is like, you know, their comedy and stuff like that. Just replace it with baseball. It'll be great.
We love it, actually.
Hard-hitting interviews. You'll have like a four-hour interview with Bruce Springsteen one day. I could already see it.
Getting into a half.
I think we peaked at Jeff Passan. Passan. Yeah. I don't know why I keep saying that wrong. Jeff Passan.
Yeah, we love you, Sean. But
Passan. I've been reading it as Passan my entire life.
Just because you've been infected by the Volkswagen mind virus doesn't mean you could pronounce his last name wrong.
Passan. Yeah.
We get it. You shop for Passats. All right.
Yeah. When we were doing that episode, and Jeff was just like, "Yeah, I can't just tell you to call me 18-wheeler Passan because you know I like trucks." Like we were talking about nicknames, and I was just like, "Okay, like this podcast might have the juice. This might be."
Oh yeah, this is it. Like I feel alive right now. You got I found out about a James L. Brooks movie I didn't know existed. This is incredible.
The more you know.
The fun part is I always say that there are like four people listening at this point, and I like to believe that's true. I'm not going to check if it is, but I think it's like four people. One's my mom. I think one's my dad. I don't know. Yes. Probably another one is also my mom again. So hi to
her. And then another one is like one of your reply guys.
Yeah. We love the reply guys, actually. They're my lifeblood.
Folks, we love them.
There's one reply guy.
I love the reply guys.
We love the reply guys, and they say, "Hello, I'm my pussy's in bio."
Yeah.
I made a great post about. I wrote a love letter to Kim Jong Un. It was a great love letter, and Becky 8529873 said, "I fucked them." I don't think it's true, but we're going to be looking into it. Oh, this has gone off the rails.
And then Bill Clinton responded underneath, "I fucked her too."
I was also there.
Yeah. I was also in that.
I met her before. She's a good one. Take care of her.
Michelle, there's pussy. I can't do it. <at the bottom.
laughs> No, it was good. It was really good. Oh, God.
This is what happens when the adult of the podcast leaves.
Yeah, Hildy is our dad once he's gone. Because like you bully Sean enough that when it's just you, me, and him, and whoever our guest is, like you could just bully Sean into whatever. Yeah. Hildy's the only one who's like our dad.
He's he's a film critic. He has his beautiful Hilden babies. And it's like, oh no, he's the brains behind the operation, where it's like, we have to, if he's good with it, it's probably good. And then when he goes away, it just becomes, hey, you know, I'm 35th president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, and I'm having sex.
I hadn't thought about it. Hildy really is, he's the straight man to a lot of this. Is the which one was the straight man, Abbott or Costello?
Abbott.
He's our Abbott.
He kind of is your Abbott, because also what he does, like when he was speaking about like the arm injuries, it was with such a
thought. Oh, yeah.
It was like
very like incredibly austere, super serious. And I was just like, oh, these guys are getting hurt because of woke, nobody wants to pitch anymore.
That's why he was my first co-host pick. There was nobody better than our beautiful Hildy.
Yeah, I think it would have been an interesting, just you and him bouncing back and forth would have been an incredible synergy.
Yeah, I mean, it almost was. Sean was just going to be our first guest, and then he decided he doesn't want to work anymore.
And then undecided that.
Yeah, then he undecided, and we had to find someone else who didn't want to work anymore. And then you also undecided.
No, you unbanned me.
Don't get bogged down in the specifics. Anyway,
the first thing Rich said to me when we finished the episode of the podcast that I was a guest on was, "All right, you're rebanned."
Look, it's important to have rules, all
right? That's good shtick right there.
Man's gotta have a code.
It's like when Henry Mejia came back for one game and then got banned for another 162.
Oh, man, that was incredible. I loved when they let him back into the minors after he had been banned for life.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
He might still be pitching.
I hope.
I feel like he's still pitching somewhere.
I think he might be. He might be in Mexico. I might see him this year.
I was going to say, he's probably staying at the same hotel you are.
Yeah.
He's staying at the Hollywood Hawaiian Hotel.
Where did Manny Ramirez do an interview today where he said he's not retired from baseball?
He's at the 04 reunion.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh. I know Manny was playing in Australia a few years ago, and I knew someone who was either coaching that team or on that team. And, like, it was like a guy up there throwing 88 miles an hour, and Manny came back from his at-bat being like, this guy's, like, throwing hard, right? And everyone was just like, Manny, this guy is throwing absolute pus. Like, are you all right? You're literally Manny Ramirez.
I mean, how old is Manny Ramirez right now?
He's like 52.
Yeah.
Someone was telling me Fernando Rodney was still pitching in this league last year.
This is true. He wanted one last shot to get to the big leagues.
Yeah, right? Like, Bartolo Colon pitched in Mexico until he was 45. Like, I'm sure I'm going to keep running into people where I'm just like, good God, you're still playing?
That's the movie.
Oh, God.
It's Owen Wilson now, like, 60 years old, still playing in Mexico, trying to get back to the Nationals.
It's called The Rookie 2.
The Rookier.
I mean, that is actually just Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he did play in Mexico, yeah. Yeah.
You see, we like to have fun around here, don't we?
We do.
Folks, we like to have fun. We do a little trolling.
We've done too many Trump voices. I'm calling it. That's it.
Yeah, that was. My heart wasn't in that one. I'm sorry.
You could tell it. I follow the Roth rule where once you do a bit for a second time, but a little shittier, like when we did it in the podcast with him, he's like, that's when you stop. You're not getting any better returns. It's only going to be worse.
I don't know.
He's got a good point.
The most popular podcast in the world. Like, every single popular podcast is just running bits into the ground. That's it.
Yeah, it is true. Until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. You guys can have integrity.
It's 42nd president of the United States, Bill Clinton. I also ran your girlfriend into the ground.
There's also the beauty of like going into the bit so hard that it's funny, it stops being funny. And then it comes full circle back to being funny.
Yeah. You know,
there's a beautiful art to that. I don't know if we have that, but
for the very special listeners,
the thing there, I have to say, was very good. It was like, well,
that's a good callback.
Yeah. I will say for the special listeners who made it this far, one episode we had planned that never came together was going to be all of the hosts doing no introduction, just 1 second in, just hard, everyone's doing Trump impressions, and we just create a chain of rambling that goes on for an hour straight and then just ends.
That feels like a finale.
Yeah, the last episode we ever do was going to be that.
Yeah.
It would just be a chain. You're like, oh, you know, Ray Kroc was not too nice to Donald Trump.
Grimace and Friends are unkind to the Hamburglar.
They're not very good when it comes to burger and, frankly, milkshake. They're doing awful things with regard to apple pie.
Beautiful example of we went through it not being funny and it comes back around.
Yeah. This is why nobody gets paid.
What, on this podcast? Is because we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
We don't deserve that at all.
No.
What are we getting our He Gets Us and Manscaped sponsorships?
I wish.
You guys are definitely going to get sponsors, right?
Do you know how many gambling ads I've gotten in my expand folder? They're like, hey, you should talk about these odds to like win the MVP. I'm like, brother, a relief pitcher is going to get beaten to death with hammers within the next calendar year. All right. I'm not doing your ad space.
Yeah. That I support.
Yeah. No gambling, but dude wipes, BetterHelp.
No, Dude Wipes is sponsoring the ring posts at WrestleMania. They're not coming to us.
Isn't BetterHelp terrible? Isn't it like very bad?
Yeah, I think they might be bad. When I used to have my podcast, we had BetterHelp as a sponsor.
Hell yeah.
Listen, if they're very bad, that just makes it all the more likely they come to us. So good on them.
Yeah, so they're very good.
As far as I'm concerned, now that we missed the window on what was it, Casper Mattresses, when they just sponsored every single podcast that existed, because God, I would have loved just like a nice new mattress for free.
They
would totally do that.
Of course. That's like the whole thing is you get it for free.
Yeah.
Talks like
we right. I
think the best part, my favorite ad reader of all time is Mike Francesa, because he had zero interest in it, and eventually he had such little interest that he just pre-recorded them. But he was still so disinterested. He's like, New York City iron workers built this city. They built the bridges, and we have to support our unions. Okay,
doing an ad read for the union.
Yeah, it was something like that. He's like, you have to support union-made businesses in New York City.
My absolute favorite, probably podcast, honestly, is called Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. It's incredibly niche. I think this guy has like 1,000 listeners. And he's been doing this, pumping out episodes weekly for like 5 years. I'm this guy's biggest fan.
No free plugs.
Instead of doing actual ad reads, he would just make them up. But he would read them with the sincerity of you doing something that you're getting paid for. And there was like an arc through his ad reads where at some point he was doing a fake one for Toyota where he said something to the effect of, if you're going to drive off a cliff, it might as well be in a Toyota. And then the following episode was just him addressing that and being like, I'm sorry, my underwritten advertisement might have accidentally implied that it is better to be in a Toyota, that I am in some way associated with them. I'll be sitting here for the entirety of this episode waiting for the FCC to come arrest me. It's just one of the best bits I've ever heard someone do.
I thought it'd be, I was issued a correction, and what I meant to say was the Hyundai Sonata is actually the best car to drive off a cliff in.
That's what we should just start doing those until the real ads come rolling in. That way people don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode of Staffcast was brought to you by the Tesla Cybertruck. All of us want to die. Why not die looking like a jerk off? That's Tesla Cybertruck.
I've always wanted to be liquefied in a car crash.
Yeah. There's nothing like being in a car crash and your body going through the same like machinations of a World War II veteran having a grenade thrown at them.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to end it here. I will say.
Oh, yeah. We should.
Yeah, Italian Dave, please don't edit out where it's that I have to go to the bathroom.
Italian Dave, please.
Please leave that in.
Listen, either we end it or we get P live on the podcast. So we're not doing that.
No, Sean, that's
thank you. Thank you for coming and not peeing live on the podcast.
I will come back for the 100th episode and pee on the podcast. I promise. We're planting seeds now.
On behalf of Mexican Hack and our favorite Hildy, who is right in his battle against parking lot attendants, this has allegedly been Staffcast, and I'm so sorry for all of it.